Well, I want to share with you for a few minutes. I'm actually going to be sharing with you for the next handful of Wednesday nights. We'll see how far we go. But 2.5 weeks ago, on a Sunday morning before we left for a week on vacation, I shared a message with you entitled Unknown Territory. And I want to take that topic because I haven't been able to get it out of my spirit. And I want to recap a little bit, and then I want to expand on that. And so we're going to be discussing unknown territory for the next however long the Holy Spirit wants us to do that on Wednesday night. And so I'm not planning to re-preach the whole sermon, but I do want to go back and recap just a little bit. And so I want us to start off. Hopefully you have the notes in your hand. Let's start off by reading from Joshua chapter 3, just the beginning here, and I'll tie it together before we run ahead. Joshua 3:1 says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way.'" Everybody say, "so that you may know the way." So that you may know the way. If you're reading in your Bible, you might want to underline that. So that you may know the way. How many of you know it's important to know the way? You cannot get there if you don't know the way. Remember when God told Abraham to leave his country because he was going to take him into a land he didn't know of? And he didn't know where he was going, much less how to get there. It's important for us to know the way. And so they said that you may know the way, talking about the presence of God, following the ark, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. For you have not passed this way before. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you remember, many of you know, that there was a prophetic word that was given over this church back in the fall of last year. It was by the Nortons. And the word was that God was getting ready to take us somewhere we had never been before. How many of you like going somewhere you've never been before? Some people like new places and some people like routine. But if we are following God, if we are on the God journey, we are going to be coming into new places all throughout our life. If we're following God, God is not going to be a God that allows us to settle down and stay where we are. How many of you can attest that God has been working on you ever since you came into His family, and He has never been satisfied with leaving you how you are or where you were? Everybody follow what I'm saying? And so God told us as a body that He was getting ready to take us to a place that we had never been before. And the kingdom of God is much like the natural world in that there are seasons. Everybody say seasons. There are seasons in the kingdom of God. And there's seasons in a believer's life. And there are seasons in the body of Christ. And as we follow God, God is faithful to take us through the seasons that we need to go through so that we can arrive at seasons of greater fruitfulness. How many of you know that fruit is not for the tree? Fruit is born because somebody needs the nourishment that comes from that tree. And as a body of believers, God is wanting to bring us into a place of greater fruitfulness. And what the Lord told us as a church was, He told us that I'm going to take you somewhere where you've never been before. That means we don't know where we're going, and it means we don't know how we're going to get there. But there's confidence in knowing that God knows where He wants to take us, and He knows how to get us there. So He's taking us into an unknown territory. Now, I talked about how that as the children of Israel were preparing, in this passage, they were on the precipice of going into the promised land, crossing the Jordan into the promised land, and that as a group of people that God had called to go into an unknown territory, into a greater land, that there were basically three subcategories of people within the children of Israel. There were first the group of people who were not willing to relent to the Spirit of God and to what He needed to do in their lives. And because of that, they wound up not believing Him. So what happened to them? They died in the wilderness. How many of you know that's not God's intention for any of us? Did He love them? Did He have a plan for them? Did He have an inheritance for them to come into? All of that. It wasn't on God that they died in the wilderness. How many of you know that it's not on God when we don't step into our promise? It's on us. Then there was a group of people that as they prepared to cross the Jordan, there were three tribes that said, you know what, we're satisfied. We've come further than them. And you know, the Bible says don't compare yourselves among yourselves because that's not a good thing to do. Anybody ever done that besides me? It's an easy trap to fall into. But they said, we've come further than them, but we don't think we want to put out what it's going to take to get there. So if it's okay, we're just going to stay just this side of where God is calling us to go. And those three tribes said, we're going to stay on this side of the Jordan. We're not going to cross the Jordan and go into what it is that God has for us. How many of you know the Bible says that there's a good and acceptable and a perfect will of God? It's God's will that none should perish, but all should have eternal life. He wants everyone to experience Jesus and to know the redemption of the cross and to be transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, to be born again. But it's not His desire or His design that we stay there. He has more for every one of His children. He wants to grow us where we're not drinking a bottle all of our life, right? Where we're not in bondage all of our life. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but more than, and beyond that, the next step, He wanted to get Egypt out of the children of Israel because that's all they had ever known. And so when, as believers, we're born again and we come into the kingdom of God, we bring with us, right? Our spirit is reborn, but we bring with us our past. We bring with us our dysfunctionality, right? We bring with us all that was over here, and the Holy Spirit then begins to work on us to change us and to begin to make us into the image of Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. But how many of you know that's not the only thing that God wants to do for us? He wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit and with power, so that we are dispensers of the kingdom of God in the earth. So not only are we free, but we walk around and we help other people get free. We point other people to the light, and we carry an anointing on our life to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And so all throughout our life, it's a process. Say, I never arrive. Anybody ever thought you arrived? Did anybody besides me ever get somewhere and think you just about had a handle on things? And then your whole world changed. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, God is so good to us and He's so faithful to us that He works on us. He's the potter and we're the clay. And if we will stay on the potter's wheel, then He will work on us as He wills and when He wills. And, you know, it's like He'll work on something in our lives. He'll bring something to the surface. It'll be news to us. It'll be news to us that that flaw or that imperfection or that problem was there. Do you know what I'm talking about? But the Holy Spirit brings it to the surface. And then as we participate with Him, He will work on us and He will work in us and He will mold us. And most of those things don't happen overnight. It's a process. It's a journey. And we have to stick with it. We have to stick with it. We have to be willing to go through the season. We have to be willing to go through the spring and the summer and the fall and the winter. We have to be willing to allow God to do that because that's the way it works. He said you have need of patience. So after you have done the will of God, you will inherit the promise. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, you know, about how so many times I believe that... Y'all know that that Jesus considers the church to be very important, right? The church is very important. Jesus came to establish the church. And not a building, the people. We're the church. But so many times, God wants to bring the church to another level of fruitfulness, to another level of impactfulness within a community. He wants to bring it into another dimension. But generally, the church, which is me, everybody say, I'm the church. Do y'all know that old thing? Do y'all remember that thing? Here's the church, here's the steeple. How many of y'all were Baptists growing up? Open the doors and there's the people or whatever, you know. This is the church, right? We are the church. Many times churches never can move beyond where they are because they're not willing to go through the process. What does that mean? The people in the church aren't willing to go through the process, right? Because what happens is if God needs to change us, then what that means is that he has to surface some things in us. You know what I'm talking about? He has to surface some things in us. Well, how do things get surfaced in us? It's usually through hard times. It's usually through a conflict. It's usually through a relational struggle. It's usually something that shows up that doesn't make us look very good. And within the church many times, let me just back off and just say, we're so blessed. We're so blessed to have the shepherds that we have in this church and the deacons and the leaders that we've had that have been here for decades. And thanks be to the Lord, that the report of this church is that God has preserved this church from ever going through any kind of a major split since Pastors Jerry and Elaine have been here. How many know that's God's will? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But normally what will happen is God will say, okay, it's time to move forward. There's some things that I'm wanting to do. And in order for me to get you there, then I've got to change some things in here. And as he begins to surface some things, then it creates some friction. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so usually what happens in a church is, The season will come around where God wants to change some things so that the church can be pruned and cut back and prepared for a season of greater fruitfulness. But that season right there is not too easy. It's a little bit difficult, right? And things happen there. And then Christians don't act like Christians in that season. And when we don't act like Christians, when someone slaps this cheek, and instead of turning the other cheek, I slap back. How many of you know, then the potter's hands, they're not on the clay anymore. Because we step down and we step off. And when someone hurts me, instead of me leaning into the Holy Spirit and grabbing a hold of the truths that I, you know, all the notes that I've taken and that what a great message and everything. And until I apply them to my life, someone hurts me or betrays me or offends me. And instead of leaning into the grace of God and releasing forgiveness to that person, I get bitter towards them. And I begin to have an offense in my life. How many of you know that stops the process? And so what happens is God says, okay, you know, God, we want revival. We want change. We want more. We want this. And so God says, okay, here comes the season that you need to get you ready for more. And then the season shows up and then we're like, whoa, what is this? This is not what we prayed for. This is not what we were believing for. There's warfare on every side. There's opportunity for offense every day. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's harder and it's difficult and all these battles are going on and we're like, what's going on? And God's saying, I'm working in you. I'm working on you. But generally what happens within a church is that the church, which is the people, aren't willing to go through the process. So one or two or three different things happens. What normally happens? We run the pastor off thinking that if we run the pastor off, then we could get a better one in here and things will get better around here. Right? Or the pastor runs a bunch of the people off thinking if I can get rid of all of them, right? Or a bunch of the people get mad at the other people and then they leave because people aren't handling things in the spirit, right? So what happens? That process is then aborted. And so God can't finish what he needed to do for the church to move into the new season. And when we abort the process, whether it's on a church level or a personal level, how many of when we abort the process that God's trying to work in our life, then we prevent him from being able to bring about the promise he wants to bring about. And because we're not willing to participate with the process, then we abort the process. And guess what? We find ourselves, just like the children of Israel in the wilderness, still walking around the same mountain over and over again. Do I love God? Yes, I love God. Do I want more? Do I want all he has for me? Yes, I do. You know, God, do a work in me and all that. But you know what? If until we're willing to walk that thing out in our life, then we'll never go beyond where we are. And so God has told us as a church that he wants to bring us somewhere that we have never been. So to get somewhere we've never been, we need to know the way. And in order to know the way, there's some things that we just need to expect. Everybody say, I just need to expect it. And I just need to understand it. You ever gone to a theme park? Any of you parents or grandparents carried any kids to a theme park? And if somebody told you ahead of time that every ride was a 90-minute line, you know, you just expected it when you got there. That's a whole lot better than you showing up thinking you're just going to walk up and get on the ride all at once, right? Because you prepared yourself for what was coming. And so in this season, we need to be prepared for what it is that God is trying to do in our lives and in this church. And so with that in mind, I want to talk to you about some things that we need to be aware of and some things that we need to know as we go into this unknown territory. In Exodus 33:15, the scripture says, remember Moses, when God was trying to get him to go, Moses said this. He said, if your presence doesn't go with us, he said, do not bring us up from here. Moses knew that the only way to get to where it was that God wanted to take them was with his presence. And so Moses said that. And we have to be a people that come to the place where number one in your notes is we must follow the presence of God. And I'm not going to preach these. Where I want to go and what's in my heart is point number four. And so we'll probably just recap 1, 2, and 3 a little bit and get into 4 a little bit. And we're going to be on 4 for the next few weeks. Okay. So we must follow the presence of God. The only way to cross the Jordan, the only way to come into our promised land is not to figure it out, but to follow. We have to follow the presence of God. What does that mean? It means the presence of God has to be the highest priority in all of our lives. And God is calling all of us to a deeper place, a deeper secret place with him. So in this season, what we need to expect is there's probably going to be things that surface in our life that are going to try to be pushing us into a place where we find ourselves deeper in our prayer closets. That there is a greater call. There's a sense by the Holy Spirit that he's drawing us deeper to follow and to find the presence of God. Remember when Moses was given the opportunity to say, what is it? What is it that you want? Just tell me whatever it is that you want. And he said, I just want to see your face. I just want to see your face. God is stirring in us to be a people that say, above all else, God, we must see your face to see your glory. And so the external pressures and the things that are going on in our life, it may be some hard times that are going on right now. But if we can say, oh, I'm not surprised at this. I expect that this is going to be happening. And I can see, God, what you're helping me do is you're leveraging me into your presence. You're leveraging me to follow after you with all of my heart, to come to a place that is deeper, where I used to say just grace over the meal. Now I spend 5 minutes in the morning before I go to work. Where I used to spend 5 minutes in the morning before I go to work, now I spend 15 minutes praying in the Spirit and 15 minutes of reading my Bible. God is calling us to a deeper place, to go somewhere we've never gone before. We got to know the way. And the only way that we're going to know the way is by if we follow the presence of God. And God is calling us to go to a deeper place. And if we don't respond to that deeper place of his presence, how many of you know that we're not going to be able to go? We're not going to be able to go. And it's not a comparison game. You ever done that? I used to do that. You know, I work with Brother Jerry, and I'd be like, you know, I mean, I'm like, come, you don't want to compare prayer times with him. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you start talking to other people, and this person's doing this, and this person's doing that, and they're this is their prayer book, and they pray all this. And how many of you know it's not about that? It's not about that. I'm not called to be you. You're not called to be me. But we are called to be followers of his presence. What is he saying to you? Is he saying, take your lunch break in your car, reading the word? That something in this season is going to be drawing you into a place that you have not been before in your pursuit of the presence of God. And if it's not, then you need to pull back and you need to just begin to tell God, God, I surrender. God, I'm here. God, I want to go. God, I want to cross over. God, I need you to speak to me. God, I'm open to hear your voice. What is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? Is it adding prayer time? Is it attending prayer meetings? And listen, again, what I don't want to say is I don't want you to, there's not a checklist where you say, well, this person's doing this and they're attending all these prayer meetings and I'm this. And how many of you know we're all at different seasons in our life? We all got things going on, and God knows exactly where you are. And he knows exactly what you need. And he knows exactly what you're capable of doing. And what he is doing, though, is he's calling us up. He's calling us up to a deeper place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Remember when the presence of God, when the ark of God hit the Jordan River, the river stopped. How many of you know we can follow the presence of God? The presence of God will always show us the way. And I just love how God leads us. Aren't you thankful that the Spirit of God leads us? Let me give you just a short testimony because my son's not in here. My middle son. And my middle son has always been kind of in the shadow of my older son. You know how that works. 18 months difference. And, you know, you get the phone first and you get your license first and you get all this and all of that comparison that can go on. How many of you know the enemy from the time that we're little tries to set us up for failure? He tries to put us in bondage anyway. But anyway, the long story short, God had really worked out things miraculously for Ethan this past year as far as where he was going to be going to college and all of that. And I always am attuned to these things in my children. I'm watching my middle son. He's excited for his brother, but I can see also at the same time it's a burden to him. It's like, how can I attain that? How can I measure up that? You know what I'm talking about? And anyway, long story short, we're telling it, God has a unique plan for you. He has a perfect plan for you. God's going to lead you. God's going to show you. It's going to be just as special, but it's going to be for you. And how many of you believe that's the way God treats every one of us? You too. Every one of you. Every one of you. And so we're looking at all these colleges and, you know, our desire is that our kids be in a Christian university somewhere. We've always set our faith in that direction, if that would be the Lord's will. And so we looked at all these. They had no interest. And so finally he came to us, and he came to us with this university. I had never heard of it. It was a long way off. And I just kind of offhand kind of dismissed it. You know what I'm saying? Any parent ever done that before? Kind of dismissed it. But it kept showing up. And so we sat down and we looked at it. And we said, well, we'll pray about it and so on and so forth. I'd never even heard of it. Anyway, the long story short, I won't go into all the details right now, but some amazing, miraculous things. I mean, if I could tell you the whole story, it'd boggle your mind. But at the end of the day, I was able to look at Colin and say, God spoke to you. God led you. It didn't have anything to do with us. We didn't know anything about it, any of that. But you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you that is leading you, and he's directing you. And how many of you know when we don't know where to go and we don't know how to get there, the Holy Spirit does. And if we will trust the Father and we will find ourselves in his presence, how many of you know he knows how to speak to us? And he will be faithful to us. So we must follow the presence of God. Number two in your notes. If we follow the presence of God, there are some places that the presence of God is going to lead us. And I used to always think that the places the presence of God was going to lead us were going to be all fun and games, right? I don't mean that like that. But some of the places the presence of God leads us isn't what we want, but what we need. Everybody say what we need. So the first place after they crossed the Jordan that the presence of God led Joshua and the children of Israel was to the city, the fortified city of Jericho. So number two, the presence of God will lead us to a place of greater confidence. Everybody say confidence. Or you can write out there on the side, trust. Joshua 6:1, it says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The first place that the presence of God led the children of Israel was a place of impossibility. Coming into this place that we've never been before, what you can expect, everybody say, I expect it. There's going to be some impossibilities. There's going to be some places, and not that you haven't had them in the past, but coming into this new season, into this new place, into this new land, something you can count on is that God is going to bring you up to a Jericho in your life. And that is a place that when we look at it, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is nothing we can do to win it. You ever been there? Has anybody ever been at a Jericho in your life? When you look at it, you know without a shadow of a doubt that there is no amount of education, no amount of human strength, no amount of friends that you know, no amount of self-help books you could read. There's nothing that you can do that could change or alter this situation to bring you the victory. The only possibility is that God win it. That God win it. And is that a good place to be? It don't feel good, but it are good, right? It are a good place to be. Because until we are in that place, our confidence in God will not grow. It's only when we meet something that's bigger than me, and I have to trust in God, that my confidence in Him will begin to grow. It will begin to flex our faith muscles. It will begin to work our confidence. It will begin to challenge our trust. It will bring us to a place where we can say that I'm not just saying I just trust God. I just trust God, but really, I have to trust God. If I do not trust God, what's the alternative? I'm stuck. I'm here. I'm overcome. I'm the victim and I'm not the victor. But how many of you know that in this season, God wants to bring us to some Jerichos because He wants to see some mighty walls fall flat. And really what happened at Jericho, this is a good word, and what happened at Jericho, God used Jericho like throwing a rock in a pond because it was a ripple effect all throughout Canaan. All the kings and all the nations heard how mighty God was, and terror and fear was struck in the heart of the enemy so that they became weak-kneed. So that every other battle that Israel was to fight, God had already went ahead of them because of this Jericho. And there's some things in our life. Maybe it's one thing. I know that there is a Jericho or Jerichos going on in my life. And it's forcing me to a place in the presence of God and my confidence and trust in God that I've never had to be before. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so the option is not to turn tail and run. The option is not to pull people aside and talk about how big the obstacle is. The option is to get alone in the presence of God and to hear His voice. And see what He has to say, and to get His strategy, and to let it birth faith in our hearts so that we can walk out of His presence and do whatever it is He says to do. No matter how silly, how far-fetched it may seem. And that's exactly what He did to them. You know, He could have given Joshua a really cool military plan. You know, line your soldiers up in a V formation and, you know, start with one and fan. I don't know. He could have gave them some really cool thing. But how many of you know, ultimately what that would have done was that would have given some of the glory to the arm of the flesh. And what God was saying was, I'm bringing you to a place that everybody, for sure you, but everybody else will know this was nothing you could have done. It was only God. It was only God. And is that a good father to put us in a position for that? Yes, absolutely. Because he knows that we need to have a trust in him that does not fail. A couple of scriptures we had in here, Psalms 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. How many of you have done a little bit of that in your life? I have. We put our trust in some things, and we even call it godly, right? And we put our trust in some things. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Zechariah 4:5 says, it's not by might. This wall is not going to fall by might or by power. It's only going to be by the Spirit of the living God. Hebrews 10:35, don't cast away your confidence because it has great reward. That's a word that some of you need to hear tonight. Don't look up again. Look at how big Jericho is. Look at how towering the walls are. God could have brought them across the Jordan at any place. He could have took them into Canaan at any place. He could have brought them to a little bitty village. He could have done whatever he wanted to, but he brought them to this massive impossibility. And it was at that place of massive impossibility that they met God. And God showed them the way. And guess what? They stepped out and they did what he said to do. And how many of you know that if we will do what God says to do, how many of you know God will always do what only he can do? And then the scripture in Hebrews 11:30 says this. Y'all go ahead and start some music. It was by faith. This is a look back on Jericho. It was by faith or confidence in God. Everybody say confidence in God. Confidence in God. Confidence in God. Just close your eyes for a second. Just say, my confidence is in God. My confidence is in God. It's not what I can work up. It's not all my spirituality. It's not all the hoops that I jump. My confidence is in God. My confidence is in God. My confidence is in God. It says it was by faith or confidence in God that the people of Israel marched around Jericho 7 days. Some of you are on day 5 around your Jericho. Some of you haven't even started walking around it yet because you thought that's silly. But I'm telling you that our confidence has to remain in God. It's our faith that moves mountains. It's our faith that will bring down the walls. It's not me and somebody else. How many know it's me and God? Me and God. You may be on day 5 and you may be thinking that, God, I've done everything you said to do. God, I've done it. I've been doing it. I've been doing it all right. I've been doing it at the right time. God, I've been doing it. And I trust you. But God, the walls are still there. God wants you to know tonight, let your confidence remain in God. Let your confidence remain in God. My confidence is in God. At my Jericho, my confidence is in God. It's not in all of the soldiers that are with me. It's not in all the equipment that we have. It's not in all of the earthly strategy that I can muster. It's not in any of those things. My confidence is in God alone. My confidence is in God to bring that prodigal child back. My confidence is in God to restore this marriage. My confidence is in God that these doors will not shut and I will not file bankruptcy. My confidence is in God that the dream you gave me, God, will come to pass. My confidence is in God. My confidence is in God. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here. No matter how big Jericho is, I'm not staying here. I will trust you, God. I will remain in your presence, God. I will hear your voice, oh God. Give me eyes to see and ears to hear and faith to believe, oh God. I will not stay here. I will inherit the promise of God. I will inherit the promise of God. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We've not been this way before. We've not been this way before. What that may mean is that you're up against this Jericho that you saw 10 years ago in your life, but the Jericho's still standing. Meaning that God wants to take you through this Jericho. It means that He doesn't want this thing to continue to stand in your life or my life. He wants to see the walls fall flat. How many of you know God can do it? How many of you know that God will do it? How many know that God never fails? God never fails. God never fails. Well, I've lived with this for 30 years, so I might as well finish. Well, stay on this side of the Jordan if you want to. But if you, it's not too late to believe God. It's not too late to gain a greater confidence and trust in God. And just to believe and to let your roots go down deeper in the Word of God and believe God to see this thing change once and for all. It was just the first place the presence of God brought them was a place of impossibility. The place of impossibility. If you got a place of impossibility in your life, we're going to bring up a worship song here tonight, as we've been doing at the end of services, and just taking a few moments to not just run out. Now, if you need to go, that's totally fine. But if you want to take advantage of a few minutes here of stepping deeper into the presence of God, how many of you know sometimes we don't need somebody to pray for us? We don't need to hear a longer sermon. We just need to be with God. We need to hear from Him. So if you would like to, particularly if you know in your life right now, you're in a season where you're looking at a Jericho in your life, that I, excuse me, encourage you to take a moment to come to these altars, put yourself in the presence of the Lord, and just hear from Him. So we got an eye worship. We're going to bring it up here tonight, and this is going to be our dismissal. You can worship, or you can come to these altars, or you can sit in your seats, but you can listen for the voice of the Lord. How many of you know He's going to take us where we've never been? Do you have a desire for it? Do you want to go where He wants to take us? And there's some things we got to expect, and there's some battles that we got to win. Can you say amen? All right, go ahead.